Now back to the Midday Grind with Martin and Marlo on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
I'd get it one piece at a time, and it wouldn't cost me a dime. You know it's me when I come through your town. I'm gonna ride around in style. I'm gonna drive everybody wild, 'cause I'll have the only one there is around. Next day when I
back
in
on
590 The
Fan, Martin and Chuck here on a Tuesday, taking up till 1 o'clock. And if it's Tuesday and you're Johnny Cash, that means you're about to hear from Kenny Wallace. But we did get something brought to our attention. Now, Charlie and I follow the dirt racing circuit very closely. We've got our fantasy leagues. I wasn't aware until I saw this. A guy, this is what's weird about Twitter. So it came from PotRoast71.
Love PotRoast.
Okay. Thank you, PotRoast71, for bringing this to our attention. But it's from the Summer Nationals, and it said it's one of the most talked about moments of the weekend. Take a listen to this.
So Herb's got one lap or a quarter of a mile to figure it out. He looks to the inside of Weaver, pulls the triggers, fires a blank as they go into three. Here they come, Mike.
He's going to bury it off four. Kenny Wallace, Brent Weaver, Wallace wins. Wallace comes home fourth, Weaver fifth. Third will go to Rourke, second to Logan Moody. And Mr. Weaver. Don't think he liked the antics from Kenny Wallace. Year winner.
Wow. How about that, Kenny? Congratulations. They're saying it's one of the most talked about moments of the weekend. Was that in Fairbury, Illinois?
Yeah. So I would quickly tell the story. Like 61 race cars for 22 positions, okay? It's no different than baseball and football. 61 race cars show up, but there's only enough room for like 22. So on my qualifying race, which was a 20-lap race, they started 16 cars, and there's like four of these races. You have to finish in the top four. So they drop the green flag, and I start fourth, and I immediately move into second, and I have a right rear flat tire. So I get lucky. They threw a caution because another car spun out. So I pull off the track. They put a new right rear tire on my car. And I come from 16th position. And there's no doubt that I was driving hard. What that means is I got to go. I don't have time to be nice. I don't, you're in my way. So I'm going to pass you. And so anyway, I got to fifth. I needed to finish in the top four. So I passed the fourth place car on the last corner coming to the checkered flag. Well, I did what they call a slide job where I go underneath of him as hard as I can. I slide up in front of him. So the videos are all out there. And, yes, I took his lane away. Did I rough him up? No. He had the opportunity to get on the brakes. And so I cleared him. And when I did clear him, he got on the gas and ran into my quarter panel. That was at the checkered flag, so no big deal. So it would be just like a play at the plate in baseball. You know, there's a play at the plate, and that's what there was with me. There was a play for the final transfer spot. Well, when the race was over, they make the top four go to inspection. The guy that I passed, he was upset with me, so then he ran into my left rear and did a little bit of damage, not much. But anyway, so they kicked him out that night, took his money from him. He was able to come back the next night, and start last. So that's the whole story.
So is that common? They just like, oh, I'm mad at you, so I'm just going to run into the back of your car, because that's your expense, right?
Yeah, well, more so me, because, and this is the honest truth, everybody knows this, I am held to a higher standard, because I raced in NASCAR all my life, and people assume, and they've got it wrong, they assume I have something that they don't have. So, in other words, here's the point. Kenny Wallace was a NASCAR driver who won 9 NASCAR Xfinity races. He's on TV every week. How can he be this good racing against us? And then so when I do outrun them, and I win a lot, they're just pissed. You know, and so there's a thought that I should ease up, and that's just wrong, you know. But it doesn't happen very much. It happens once or twice a year that I run into this type of situation. It just makes me want it more and makes me want to go harder. So,
well,
it was fun.
Yeah, we would never ram you in the left rear. We're big fans of Kenny Wallace. Was that this past weekend or was that a while ago?
No, that just happened on Friday night. And then we made the big race. We started 16th and we finished 6th. But that was in Fairbury, Illinois. Now, let me explain dirt racing to everybody listening to 590 today. Dirt racing, for example, this Friday and Saturday night, down Highway 55 at Kenny Schrader's I-55 Raceway in Peabody, Missouri, there will be close to 10,000 people, and it's standing room only. So I'm not saying dirt racing is a cult following. I'm just saying that there's a lot out there in the world that a lot of people don't know about, and this dirt racing is huge. So the race that I was at, you know, they're not nowhere near as famous as the Cardinals, but there was 8,000 people there. I mean, 8,000 people, a lot of people for a little fairground. So it was standing room only.
Very cool. I keep thinking that your summer racing season is over. I keep thinking that, but that's a series.
Right.
I think a series ended, and then all of a sudden you're racing again the next week.
You are good, Martin, because here's the deal. You're correct. The Summer Nationals was over, and there was a one-week break, and then we finished it off one last night. Now, that event in Fairbury, Illinois, it's called the PDC. It's called the Prairie Dirt Classic. You know, you get up in central Illinois, and everything's about farming and fairgrounds. So, you know, the fairgrounds, and they put a racetrack up. So we finished it, and so my final stats were I finished 3rd in the points, and they take your best 8 finishes. And we had a win, 2nd, 3rd, 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 5th, and a 6th. So, but I got my ass whooped by Mike Harrison out of Highland, Illinois, arguably one of the greatest dirt racers in our era. And just coincidentally, he lives across the river there in Highland. So big shout out to Mike Harrison. He's our 6-time champion. And he is our Stan Musial of these dirt modified race cars. He's really good.
It is Tuesdays with Kenny, and I'm going to guess today that you're not at Ruby Tuesday. You're not at Applebee's. That I think it sounds like you might be in the home office.
We are. We're in the race shop right now. I told Buddha. Buddha is my only help. And so I said, Buddha, let's do 590, the fan, and then we'll go eat. And we'll probably head on down to Detours, make it easy. I got a lot of people coming into town for the big World of Outlaw sprint car race this Friday and Saturday down at Kenny Schrader's track. And I got a lot of people saying, Herm, we'll be coming down 55 South. We're coming from Pennsylvania. And I'll say, well, get off Vogel Richardson Road, go to the local house, or come to Detours. And Detours is one of my favorite because it's about a mile from my shop. But we do spread the love here in Arnold, and we got some good little restaurants.
Kenny, what I always appreciate, among the many things I appreciate on your social media and Twitter, is I feel like you have a great work-life balance. You're working, you're dirt racing, you're broadcasting, but then it seems like 2 or 3, 4 times a week, you're always posting pictures with the grandbabies, with the Cardinals gear, watching the games, and having a hell of a time with the family.
Yeah, I tell you what, as goofy as I am, I do believe in balance. And, man, I love my family, everything I got. Met my wife when she was in 11th. I was in 12th, so she's my high school sweetheart. We've seen the movie. You know, we've had our share of arguments. And, you know, I just love her more every day. You know, I'll be 55 here next month. So we've got a great family life. We got grandbabies being born. And, you know, we've all traveled the world. You know, I've been to Japan and Mexico, and we've taken some great vacations. But it all comes down to family. You know, there's an old saying, if you cannot help family, then who can you help? So I got grandbabies, and, man, I love them to death. And so when they're around, and my middle daughter, Brandy, she lives in one of our apartments here next to our race shop. And, you know, she just moved from Charlotte back here because she wanted to be with family. So it was a big move. And she's got her baby boy, Jet, and he's just the best. And so, yeah, I posted a picture, and I always do. Heck, we went to Grant's Farm. What was that, Thursday, I guess. And I had Charlotte with me, and we had a great time at Grant's Farm. So we have to carve out time for family, because I don't want them to ever say, Grandpa never spent any time with us. He was always off running that damn old dirt car. So got to have balance.
And how great is Grant's Farm? You get on that tram, you get off, and all of a sudden you've got world-class animals right there, plus a couple of free beers at the end of it all. That's like the greatest thing for a grandpa to discover.
It is. I mean, Grant's Farm is our treasure. And I must say this. I pray that the, you know, Anheuser-Busch family, I don't know which side it is, Anheuser or the Bushes. You know, I read what you all read, and I read that about a year ago. I pray on my knees that they never turn Grant's Farm. You know, it's like 289 acres. I hope they never, ever, you know, turn that into some type of, you know, dumbass development. I mean, you know, that's ridiculous. We got enough homes, okay? That isn't just a St. Louis treasure. That isn't an American treasure. You know, Ulysses Grant's, you know, home and history there. And like you say, I'm amazed at Grant's Farm, how even though, you know, InBev bought Anheuser-Busch, they still, you know, have some of the Clydesdale horses there. And the animals are just fantastic. It's a beautiful scenery there. So this is my plea to, for that Anheuser-Busch family, quit your arguing and realize it's not about you. You know, they have a responsibility, whether they like it or not. It's like me. I can't help who my family is, but I've got to be there for them. So they need to quit worrying about money. They got enough of it. And keep Grant's Farm where it's at. And that's their responsibility, you know. And, yes, they do have a responsibility. It's kind of a weird one, but they are the city of St. Louis. So don't sell Grant's Farm, too. Don't sell every damn thing you got.
Yeah, and I think, if I'm recalling the whole battle correctly, like Billy Bush, who owns Kreftig Beer, wanted to turn it into like a microbrew kind of a headquarters for Kreftig, and then also keep it, I think, to what it has always been. And then the other side of the family didn't want him taking it over. I'm not sure if they were ever going to change the entire makeup of what Grant's Farm is all about. I'm not entirely sure. I just want to see the press conference when they announce and they say, and over here we have Fred. He's with Dumbass Development. He's going to come up and
right.
speak for a couple minutes. And hey, Kenny, great to talk to you. And maybe by next week your Cardinals will be on a red-hot streak that they just haven't done in a couple of years.
Oh, my God, man. I woke up this morning. Quick, funny story. I wake up, I'm drinking coffee, and my wife of all people, she's just the sweetest Catholic lady in the world. She goes, I am mad. They got rid of Tommy Pham. And I said, well, Kim, I said, you know, we don't know the whole story. You know, he does say a lot, you know, in the clubhouse. Maybe it's more than his play. I don't know. So that's a whole other story, but that got my wife riled up.
Yeah, they're making moves. I don't know how excited the fan base is, but God bless Kim Wallace for being plugged in. She is your Cardinal Twitter when you wake up in the morning. All right, Kenny, we'll talk to you next week.
All right. All right, thanks, gang. Bye-bye.
All right, Kenny
thanks,
Wallace.
Buddy.
And a reminder, if you want to head down to Busch Stadium and hit some home runs, you could be Marcell Ozuna. You could end up at Busch Stadium if you want to take part in the Home Run Derby put on by the Pujols Family Foundation. How cool is this? All you have to do is go online, sign up, STLHomeRunDerby.com. All the information is online. The Cat has a team. I have a team. This is going to be a lot of fun. For $50, you're registered. It's going to the Pujols Family Foundation, also benefiting Cardinals Care, ages 9 to 99. If you're 100, we'll make an exception. All age groups get the chance to be the home run champion. Think about that. Ending up at Busch Stadium, swinging for the fences. A lot of fun. Great organization, raising money, and doing it in a fun way by letting you take some swings at the plate. STLHomeRunDerby.com for more information. Also, Bertarelli Cutlery, one of our great sponsors.
Sharp Love.
City.
Sharp City. Bertarelli Cutlery right there on the hill. 1927 Marconi.
Charlie calls them Berts.
Berts on the web. BertarelliCutlery.com. They also have Bertarelli Paper Co. for your disposable items, your trash can liners, your hygienic gloves. Martin, you always say I don't do any preparation for the show, which is usually true. However, the other day, I saw my guy, Matthew Bertarelli, and he tweeted something out. And I took a screenshot of it, and I said, the next time I do a Bertarelli Cutlery read, I want to read this screenshot because I thought it was interesting. So here's Bertarelli Cutlery, the official Twitter of Bertarelli, and they say, we've gotten in some super cool out the front automatic knives from Benchmade. We've recently gotten in, listen to these names, the Precipice, the Pagan, and the Infidel. They look great and work like a charm. Come on in and check them out. Wouldn't you like to go to Bertarelli Cutlery and say, give me the Precipice? No, I want the Infidel.
You have to say it with a Scottish
accent.
Isn't
that cool? The Infidel. Pretty good. You're down on me recently here, Rocchio.
Anyway, Bertarelli Cutlery.
Right there, I'm
the
giving
hill.
You specific
it, yes.
knives. Bertarelli Cutlery.
I wanted you to close it
the
out,
The Precipice.
Bud.
The Pagan.
Wrap it up. One, two,
the
three,
Infidel.
Knife.
Bertarelli Cutlery. Check them out.
Check them out. All right, time for the end of the day.
The end of the day.
Okay, when's the end of the day?
At the end of the day, it's going to be tough to tell someone they might not be in it.
At the end of the day, even though there's moments where you're like, I don't want to do this.
Tommy Pham, by the way, is tied for the Major League lead in picked off. He's tied with Trey Turner, who recently had to apologize for bad tweets, and Joey Votto, who was an absolute delight in any capacity.
He's been picked off a lot?
Three times.
Wow. Each of all now, hold on a second.
All right, the Pham thing must go back over the last couple of years.
You're telling me Tommy Pham has only been picked off three times this year?
And according to a website I Googled, yes.
That's
now, hold
low.
On. If you pick a guy off first, though, and then he runs to second, is that considered
that's
a caught stealing?
That's technically a caught stealing, I believe.
Okay, so pick off, caught stealing could be the...
I feel like that's happened five times at least. I could be wrong, but just from watching every game, it seems like it's happened about five times.
It sounds like Charlie Marlowe's is kind of sandbagging the guy on the way out.
I love Tommy Pham, but let's be real, he does get picked off a lot.
Has Tommy tweeted at all?
His sister did.
I'd like to see some Tommy tweets.
Some Tommy tweets? I'd like to get an official closure on, really, on this.
No.
Oh, that's supposed to be watch. I don't know what that was.
No,
I want
that was
watch
probably,
watch.
Did you get the watch?
Yes, I think
the
so.
The answer was no.
I thought that was okay.
They actually had a deal though that if Tommy got traded mid-season, Yachty would buy him a Rolex.
Okay, I didn't do this yesterday. I think we could do it today.
I kind of like the no. That's all I needed to hear. No.
Rockies trivia. We haven't done this in a while. This is another kind of meh, and I took out the obvious answers because for offense there are some pretty simple answers for who leads in certain categories.
Todd Helton.
Yes. Yeah,
Larry Walker.
You see, that's where
Dante Bichette.
Well, who has the most hits in a season in Rockies history?
In one season, and it's not Helton? Well, how about the big cat, Andrés Galarraga?
Oh, that's a good play. I'll go with Tulowitzki.
It's Dante Bichette.
Dante Bichette.
Dante Bichette has the most hits in a single season in Rockies franchise history. Now, who has the single season record for RBI in a season?
I think it was like 150.
I was going to say
I'm going to say big cat.
What? Didn't Tulowitzki have a ridiculous RBI season?
Well, that could be
I'll
your
go
guess.
Tulo.
You go Tulo, you go Galarraga. I'll go Todd Helton.
It was Andrés Galarraga who drove in 150 runs in 1996. Led the National League in home runs as well. Somehow only finished sixth in any MVP voting. That's the 90s for you. The mid-90s baseball. You could put up triple crown numbers like that and not even crack the top five.
Hold on. Chuck is just, he's dancing around the studio. He just did a laugh.
I did call it.
You
exactly.
were peacocking around a little bit earlier when Kenny Wallace was giving you credit for one of your questions.
Martin,
so.
That's a great question. I could be like, hey, Kenny's like, thank you for saying that. You are a gentleman.
I love you.
Okay. Who has the most wins in a single season in Colorado Rocky franchise history?
Not Mike Hampton.
I have a weird guess.
Okay.
I think it's Ubaldo Jimenez.
Good guess. I'll go
20 wins.
Bryn Smith.
19.
Went 14-0 before the break.
For Ubaldo Jimenez. I believe in 2010. Was dominant for a time. All right. Franchise history.
I think. Kudos to Chuck.
I just did the Josh Brown. Remember when Josh Brown hit a game-winning field goal for the Rams, and they were like 3-13, and he kind of ran around the stadium, kind of pointing to the back of his jersey, like, I'm Josh Brown. I'm the kicker. Oh, that's
the
that's
Astros
true.
Have just traded for Josh Brown, actually.
Oh, but they have a zero policy.
Yes.
Zero tolerance.
Because it didn't happen with them. Most wins, franchise history, Colorado Rockies. Go.
Overall, most wins. How long did Mike Hampton pitch there?
Not long, I don't think. Boy, they all get out of there at some point. Denny Nagel.
These are pitching heavy for a reason because these are.
Can you give us the year, roughly, he was there years
ago? You know what? He pitched this year, not for Colorado, but he did pitch this year.
How about one of those? De La Rosa.
Yes.
Is it Ruby De La Rosa?
Wow. Jorge De La Rosa.
Jorge. There's
Jorge
two of them.
De La Rosa won 86 games for the Colorado Rockies. That is the franchise high. Who has the most saves in franchise history?
Darren Holmes. No, it's not.
Most saves.
I'll give you a hint.
Greg Holland?
No. There was a time where the Cardinals were linked with him a lot.
Oh, the lefty. The lefty. Yes. Brian Fuentes.
Brian Fuentes, the soft-tossing lefty. Now, this one I like. Two Rockies are tied for the single-season record of saves in Rockies history. Both are former Cardinals. You're going to get one really easily. Can you get the second one?
So, does Holland count?
Yes. Former Cardinal. He was released, remember?
Jose was it Jimenez? The guy?
Yes, Jimenez. Jose Jimenez. Martin.
Look at me.
Through.
Look at me, Chuck. Look at me,
no,
Chuck.
See, I wasn't doing it for the radio. I was just doing it silently for the people in studio. Now you're the one.
No, you're on Facebook.
That's very arrogant.
41
you're like,
saves.
You're like Tommy Pham.
In 2002, that's the end of the day.
I like trivia like that.
I like a walk-off win. I feel better now.
Martin, do you yes. want to hear a couple texts regarding Mr. Pham, or do we have to go? Okay, here we go. Here we go. Noco Turkey Neck. The SI article crossed the line from confident to arrogant. Altsy says, I'd take a team full of Phams over a team full of Fowlers. Somebody else saying from the 618, why should people support a team that resents honesty from its players? And finally, Big Boss Noco. Pham was a terrible teammate, and we should trade those Martinezes with the funky hair, that Ozuna guy with all the neon sleeves. He needs to go. We need more players like that Bader and O'Neal who play the game hard and the right way. That's from all the blue-haired B-fibs right now.
Oh, I see what he did there.
I see what he did there, yes.
Thank you, Charles. Thank you, Rocchio and Hoff. And don't forget to head up to Alton, Illinois. Line up outdoors. Head to Fast Eddie's. One of these days, a lot of things that I need to get to. I was there a couple weeks ago. I want to go with you and Jess, if she's still talking to me. Why is Martin going to go?
She's not going to go now.
No, wrap up the read. No, tie it up.
No, wrap it up.
Come on, wrap it up.
I think it'd be a great.
She's not going to talk to you now.
Fun
you brought it back.
Saturday.
That
you,
would be
me,
fun.
Kim and Jess, head up to Fast Eddie's. It is a great destination spot. Show up for the coldest beer, but also the great food, cheap eats. You get the giant red hot dog.
Big Elwood.
No.
Shrimp.
Chicken on a stick. Hot chick on a stick.
Kebabs.
It's unbelievable. You really don't know what to order. That's the problem.
You just get like 15 things. You spend like $30 and everybody just has like a nice little, what do you call it there? A buffet.
Your own smorgasbord. Fast Eddie's and music going all the time on the weekend. Outdoor patio soon. It's going to be patio season. A lot of fun. Head on up to Fast Eddie's in Alton, Illinois. The Hardline is coming your way next. Bye,